Again, through the amazing grace of God, we're His spared monuments this side of eternity and are permitted to meet here on this beautiful Lord's Day morning to worship God in honor of His resurrected Son. And as Conley said, we're glad to have you. I especially want to mention Brother Jerry Hysall, who is back with us today. Jerry's condition has been precarious for several days, but we're just thankful by the good grace of God and prayers that Jerry is able to be back with us in the service here at West Boonville. He's a good worker in the kingdom of God, does all he can to advance the cause of Christ, and we're glad to have him. We have several visitors with us. I mentioned in the class that Carrie and Evelyn have several people visiting with them, people I've known back through the years, and if they eat with Evelyn, they're going to have a good meal because she's a good cook. I know that. So we're just glad to have all of them. Let's meet all of our visitors at the close of the service and give them an invitation to be back with us here at West Boonville, because we're supposed to be a friendly people, and I trust that we will fulfill that responsibility. I want to talk for a little while on making the right choice. Choosing the right one, I guess I'd call it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when God made us, He gave us what we commonly call volition. He gave us the power of choice. Some of the choices we make don't amount to a hill of beans. They're not important. But some of the choices we make stand between us and eternity and are very, very important. For example, the choice as to whether you are born again, the choice as to whether you live the Christian life stands between you and eternity. Very important choice. And the church that you become a member of is very important. I want to talk about a couple of choices that people have to make, some of which we make today and some that people had to make in a bygone era. And the first one has to do, and I have Ronnie fixed me a chart on this, and I the first one is the one true Christ. And yes, I believe he already has it up there. And I want to call your attention to some things here in regard to that, and so that we can understand a little bit about the Jewish people. As you know here, finding the true Christ, and notice I have Christ there because there were many Christs in the days of Jesus. I selected five. I could have put 100, but I just put that up there to let you know that there are more than one. You know, sometimes I think we're too hard on the Jewish people because I think sometimes when we think back to the personal ministry of Christ, we think that Jesus was the only person who claimed to be the Messiah, and that is a mistake. There were several people who appeared on the record of human transaction and claimed to be the Christ. And those Jews had to make a choice, just like you have to make choices today in religion about churches, which one is right, which we're going to talk about. You got to make that decision. They had to make a decision, and it wasn't as easy as you might think. So instead of being too critical on the Jews, let's remember, if we had stood in their shoes back there, and several people claimed to be the Christ, we'd have had to decide which one's right. And sometimes that isn't easy, but I'm going to show you how you figure it out. I'm going to show you how they figured it out. There's only one way, and that's through the Bible, through the Word of God. You know, if you'd have lived back in the days of Jesus, you might have been down in Caesarea, and you'd have walked down the street, and there's a man standing over there preaching. He's preaching, and he's saying he's the Christ. Well, you see, in Matthew 24, Jesus said there are many Christs, plural. He used the word plural, Christ, which will come. He said, do not believe them. He said many false Christs would arise. And in John 5, Jesus says the same thing, which I'll get to in just a moment. And so if you'd have lived back in the days of Jesus and you'd have been a Jew, and you'd have gone down to Caesarea, and here's this man standing, and he's over there preaching, so you decide to listen to him preach a little bit. You know, people listen to preachers. And he stands up, and he said, I'm he. And you ask him, said, what are you claiming? He said, oh, I'm the Christ. I am he. You know, the Old Testament said that the Messiah would come, and I'm the one. And maybe he's a good speaker, fine-looking man, and quite persuasive. And you think, well, is he the right one? I don't know. He sounds good, but you go on up to Jerusalem, and when you get to Jerusalem, there's another man on the street corner, and he says the same thing. He says he's the Christ. And then you go up to Damascus and you listen, and there's another fellow up there. He's preaching. He said, "I'm the Christ." And the man says, "You know, I'm confused. I'm just all shook up. I just don't know which one of these fellows telling the truth, because they all claim to be, and I can't join all of them because there's only one true Messiah. I know that. So if a man says, well, I could join all of them, and I can't believe all of them." So, therefore, I've got to figure out how to find the true Christ, and now I want to tell you how you find him, and I'm coming to my text, which was read in your hearing by Mike a few moments ago, and that's John 5, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, especially beginning with verse 39. You see, John 5 is dealing with a conversation Jesus had between himself and the Jewish people. And they'd talk a while, and then Jesus would talk, and then they'd ask questions, and then Jesus would talk. Well, Jesus is on the platform, and he's doing the talking. Beginning with verse 39, let's notice it real closely. "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." Some translations say, ye do search the scriptures, which probably is a little bit more accurate than the King James, although either one of them's all right. The Jewish people, most of them, did search their scriptures. What scriptures? Well, it had to be the Old Testament scripture. They didn't have the New. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and the prophets, and the minor prophets, and the major prophets. And they read those, but many of them did not really understand them, the scriptures, because they read them with a little bit of prejudice. And maybe there might be some other reasons, but he said, you do search the scriptures, Jesus said, that is the Old Testament scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. What do you mean, Lord? Didn't they have eternal life in the Old Testament scriptures? No, they didn't have. But notice it. Let's notice it real closely. He says, for they are they which testify of me. Did you know those people in the Old Testament couldn't go to heaven except as the blood of Christ goes back and takes care of their sin? Have you ever thought about that? Someone asked me one time, said, how do those old people in the Old Testament, since without the shedding of blood there is no remission, and the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sins, the book of Hebrews tells us that, how are those folks going to go to heaven? Well, the answer is right here in John 5. And a parallel passage in Hebrews 9:15. I want to read that to you. You see the way Jesus worded that. He says, you think you can go to heaven by the Old Testament scriptures, but you can't. That is by those scriptures alone. Except for the fact that they testify of who? Of me. I am the Messiah. I'm the true one. Oh, I know you heard that fellow down at Damascus, at Caesarea, and you heard one at Damascus. You heard another one down by the Dead Sea, but they're all false. They're false. I'm the one. I'm the true one. Well, how in the world are we going to know that as Jews? The answer is Scripture. They are they which testify of me. And you see, I want to read Hebrews 9. I tell you what. This is one of the greatest verses in the Bible because it lifts a load from our minds. It says this. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. That's the Old Testament. First Testament is the Old Testament. Those people live back there. Notice how it says under the Old Testament, that they who are called might receive the promise of eternal life. Oh, I see. Then the blood of Christ, the death of Christ, goes back and it takes care of those people who lived according to the law. Someone says, but did they live perfect? No, neither do we. But the ones who asked God for forgiveness and trusted in God back there, God will judge them, and he knows how to separate the sheep from the goats. And the blood of Christ will go back there and save those people who live by the Mosaic system. That's right. The blood of Christ also extends forward to save you, neighbor. You can't be saved on the merits of your own life, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And that's why this Hebrews 9:15 is so important. You ought to read that verse. It tells us how those people in the Old Testament are going to be saved. Did you know Jesus said the same thing in John 5? Let's go over it again. You do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. The only way they were saved is because the scriptures wrote of me. That's why Hebrews 9:15 and John 5:39 and 36 are parallel passages. They tell you how the people of the Old Testament be saved and how we can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the text says. You bless your life, you've got to study that. And when you do, you can see how that thing just opens up like a flower. And you can understand it. So I know how those people in the Old Testament are going to be saved by the blood of Christ. Because it goes backward as well as forward to save all people who live today if they will live by the teaching of the will of God. But my point was, those Jews had to figure out who was right. And Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote of me. You remember Mike read that toward the latter part of the reading? If you had believed Moses, Moses did what? Well, he wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Did Moses write of Jesus? Well, certainly he did. And that's why Jesus said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed me. He said, if another comes in his own name, him you will receive. But he says, I come and you turn me down. You haven't found me. You haven't accepted me. But if another comes in his own name, and who is this other one? It's the false Christ. It's the false Christ. If a false Christ comes, he says, you will receive the false Christ. And that's what they did. But he says, you won't come to me that you might have life. But the Old Testament scriptures wrote of me. Now let's solve our problem. I want to show you how. I told you I was going to tell you how they solved their problem. You see, there was that fellow down in Caesarea preaching, and then there was a fellow in Jerusalem, and then another one, and then another one, and all. And Jesus was also back there preaching. You know what he said during his ministry? He said, I'm from above. You're from the earth. I am the Messiah. He said, I'm the one. Well, how am I going to know whether he's telling the truth or not by the scriptures? Someone says, you mean then that I would have to know my scriptures in the Old Testament to identify Jesus? Exactly so. You couldn't identify him by his looks. You couldn't identify him by his height or his weight. Or anything like that. Someone says, well, preacher, I've got a picture of Jesus on my wall, and I'd get that picture, and then I'd go over there, and I'd see which one looked like that. I've got some news for you. That picture you got on your wall, that's not a picture of Jesus. There's no photograph been brought down here about Jesus. Someone says, well, who drew that? Some man. What was it his opinion? Why, it's all over the world, and everybody thinks that's Jesus. I've seen it in public places. They say, there's Jesus. No, that's a man's opinion of Jesus. Now, it's true, if you had that picture, you could have gone over there to Palestine, and you could have looked at these fellows and identified them, but you can't do that. Because we have no picture, a photograph of Jesus. I challenge anybody to show me a photograph of Jesus. We just don't have it. Someone said, but how would I identify it? I'm telling you by the word of God. Now, you see that fellow down at Caesarea that was preaching on the street corner down there? You could ask him a couple of questions and either accept him or reject him by the Bible. You could walk up and say, you could say to him, where were you born? Now, I have up here Micah 5:2. That great prophet Micah said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's scripture, brother. That's the Bible. And I'd say, friend, you say you're the Christ? Yeah, I'm the Christ. Where, you mind telling me where you were born? Oh, I was born right here in Caesarea. Mm-hmm. You were born in Caesarea. Well, you're not the Christ. How do you know that? Because the Bible says the Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and I've eliminated you. Because I know my Bible. I know my scriptures. And Jesus says, I identify him by scripture, and you haven't passed the test. And that's the way it is. Now, here's the other fellow. And you woke up to him, and he claimed to be the Messiah, and you say, who's your father? Oh, L.C. Cohen is my daddy. You have an earthly father? Yeah. You're not the Christ. My Lord didn't have an earthly father. Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost according to Isaiah. You see the scripture? And says, I'm going to eliminate you because I know my Bible. And I know the Word of God, and I know the only way that Jesus is identified is by the Word of God. And when you go down and ask Jesus these questions, he answers every one of them just like that. I was born in Bethlehem of Judea. I have no earthly father. I'm from above. And I believe when he said I'm from above, that means the virgin birth. That's what that means. He said, I'm from above. I'm not from this earth. Jesus didn't have an earthly father. He passed the test. So what do? You follow the true Christ. You see the five up there? Five? There's only one that's true, but there's more than one up there. How do you identify him? By the Word of God. Now let's get down to chart number two. You know, in Matthew 15:13, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock, and I have this scripture up there, by the way. Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when Jesus promised to build his church, he didn't use the plural. He didn't say, I will build my churches, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against any of them. He used the singular pronoun, it. Therefore, according to the Bible, the Lord only has one church. But someone says, wait a minute, preacher, I live in Boonville, Mississippi. I'm not a Jew looking for the Christ. Now, you've explained that and how they found the true Christ. Could you tell me how? I'm confused. Did you know when I started preaching, there were only 250 distinct denominations? 250. Did you know now there's 1,200? Someone says, where are all these churches coming from? Coming from men. They're man-made. That's just like the man that's down there preaching that he's the Christ and you eliminated him. He's a liar. He's not telling the truth. He's what the Lord called a false Christ. You see false up there? He's a false Christ. There are false churches. Man-made. But there is a church. Listen to me. But it's identified by the Word of God. Someone says, how am I going to find it? Why, there's 1,200 of them. And I'm just so confused. I don't know where else. Well, remember how they found Jesus. Are you listening to me? They found Jesus by the Scripture. He says the Scriptures bear testimony of me. Moses wrote of me. Now, isn't that simple? Oh, bless your life. That is so simple. Someone says, well, I understand that. Well, you ought to understand how to find the true church. If you go to the Word of God and you find a church that's scriptural in name, in faith, in organization, in doctrine, in practice, as you see on the chart, then you have found the true church, but you have to do it by the Word of God. You can't do it by its size. You can't do it by the kind of building they have. You can't do it by any other factor except by the Word of God. Because the church is the body of Christ, according to Ephesians 1. Gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. And Ephesians 4 says there is one body. And therefore, you have to find that one body. But someone says, preacher, wait a minute. I didn't live back there when I had to figure out which was the true Christ. And I see your point that the Jews had to figure that out. And they didn't come to Jesus. They went to the false Christ. That's right. Most of them do. And most of them go in and join false churches too today. Jesus only has one. And what's going to be delivered up? He's the Savior of the body. He didn't promise to save anything except the body. But what is the body? The body is the church. And he didn't promise to save every church. He said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15:13. And so, I want to tell you, my friends, what I did in this lesson. I went back to make you see this to the days of Jesus to show they had a problem. Then I'm showing we have a problem today. You have it, I have it, everybody has it, to find the true church. And I know the only way I'm going to find it is by the Bible. And when I find a church that's scriptural in name, I read the churches of Christ salute you, Romans 16:16. And so I find the name, the churches of Christ salute you. And I understand that. And I understand that when I read in the Bible that each congregation was independent and autonomous and had the right of self-government, and they had elders and they had deacons. So I look for a church, a fully organized church that has its elders and its deacons, and elders who rule and deacons who serve and evangelists who preach. And so when I find the church organized that way, then I know that I'm closing in on the New Testament church. And every identifying mark lessens the likelihood of a mistaken identity. Did you get that? Every identifying mark of the church lessens the likelihood that you're going to make a mistake. But you have to find one that's scriptural in name, in faith, in doctrine, and in practice, and in the plan of salvation. And when you find it, then you have found the true church. And you notice I put 5 up there. I could have put 1,200. But I just put 5 to illustrate, just like I did about the false Christ. And what I'm trying to get you to see, and I don't believe you can fuss with me a great deal about this, because, you know, I've had people to say, yeah, there is one true church, but we're all branches of it. Well, where do you read that in the Bible? Someone says, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. But the branches were people. Read verse 6. A man is cast forth as a branch. Now, he's not talking about churches. He's talking about people in John 15 in that parable. I am the true vine and ye are the branch. Ye who? Well, you people, not churches. And so you got to leave that. And the church doesn't have any branches, really. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and you people are the branches. You members are the branches, all right, but not religious organizations. And so they try to hide behind the branch theory. And then they try to say, join the church of your choice and be baptized as you please. I have up here on the board that you cannot scripturally join the Christ of your choice, but it'd make just as much sense. It would make just as much sense in the days of Jesus for a person to say, I've listened to all these fellows and they all claim to be Christ. I'm just going to join the one of my choice. You know, that's what they tell you nowadays. I had a man tell me, I believe, Ward, you ought to just join the church of your choice. How about joining the Christ of your choice? Well, now, he said, that wouldn't work because there's only one true Christ. Well, brother, I want to tell you something. There's only one true church because it's the body of Christ. And the same Bible that says there's one Christ says there's one church. If the church is his body, how many bodies does Christ have? I remember N.B. Hardeman, who used to be president of Freed Hardeman up here. I knew N.B., sat in his classes. He got on a train one day, and he sat down, back in those days you rode in trains mainly, and this man sitting beside him says, what do you do for a living? And he said, I'm a preacher. And he says, what kind of preacher are you? He said, Brother Hardeman said, I started to tell him I was a good, plum good one. I'm a plum good preacher. He said, I didn't tell him that. I told him that I was a gospel preacher. He said, I don't mean that. He says, what church are you a member of? Brother Hardeman said, I'm a member of the body of Christ. The man never did ask him which one. because he knew the Lord has one body. And so I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and I say this kindly, you can't anymore join the Christ of your choice any more than you can join the church of your choice. You become a member of the church of Christ's choice. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18-19. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to impress upon you today in a simplified manner, and that's why I went to these various scriptures about the false Christ in Matthew 24 and in John 5. And then I came on down to Matthew 16:18-19 about the church and the church being the body of Christ, to show you there is a parallel between the two. And what I'm trying to say is, if you can understand number one chart, you can understand number two chart. You can understand that we have to find, and that's why I titled it Finding the Right One. And I'll admit, if you didn't know the Bible, I'll admit it would be confusing today in this world where you've got 1,200 denominations. I don't deny that. That would be frustrating. But your salvation and your solution is just doing what the Bible says, going to your Bible, going to the Scripture. And when you do, you'll find the body of Christ. Then you obey the gospel, which is faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. You're added to that church, the one church in the Bible. And then if you live that Christian life, heaven will be your home. When you slough off this mortal coil, when life's dream is over, when its battles have been fought and its victories have been won, through a mist of tears you can envision that rainbow of hope and shout in triumph that Jesus saves. I hope if you're here today that you'll obey the gospel. And we give you that opportunity as we stand together with Gene and Steve.